Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post-Credit Scene podcast.
What you guys been watching lately?
The greatest film of all time.
No, apart from that, man.
Well, go on. Guys, what Charles has just walked in. If you want to stay, you can
yeah, Loki. We need to man the cameras if you actually want to.
You can sit up on the.
I'm on shift.
You can sit.
What have you been watching lately?
Sit up on the shelf to move stuff. Bro, I've been living in the cinema, you know, and so have you, innit?
Yeah. It's been busy, man.
I went to cinema Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I mean, like,
come on, bro.
Yeah, absolutely busy. But
I watched Roses, I watched For Long Walk, I watched
Puss, have you seen that original Roses?
I haven't, you know.
The original Roses is goated. Really, it's goated. Michael Douglas is goated.
Yeah.
And then, I wanted to ask you a question about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
In this new run,
yeah,
is there like a mad thing when they're in an attic and like, yeah, and she bites something? Cause it's like a very famous scene in Roses that something gets bitten that shouldn't get bitten.
Say it.
Oh yeah, she bites it off.
No, it doesn't happen.
Oh,
I don't think that would work today. Anyway.
Yeah, if it doesn't happen, I was about to say what.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. It's
about, like, what's going on?
She bites it off. He falls through an attic and he's lying down, holding obviously where his was, and she spits it at him. It's brazy.
Was he erect?
Yeah, because she was giving him a head.
That is dark.
Because they hate each other, innit?
That'd be more painful.
Yeah. It's like a love and hate thing.
Yeah. So,
that'd
but
be more painful if you're ex because of the blood.
Yeah.
He's screaming.
But easier to bite off, I guess.
Yeah.
Mr. Party Boy says, oh, yo. Yeah. You've been living a life this summer, my friend.
But yeah, nah, Roses, The Long Walk.
What's been the best watch?
Honey Don't.
Honey Don't is
just hella lesbo scenes and nothing else.
What's been the best thing you've watched?
I think the Roses is number one for me, and then the Long Walk,
including what we're going to be talking about today.
No, of course not.
No, I'm not.
Okay, we're not including that.
But Roses, so far, I'm not sure because I'm writing my review on it. Okay, it'll be out this week. But I think Roses might be creeping into my top 7-8 of the year for sure.
Oh really?
Yeah, man. Like, okay. I really enjoyed it. The Long Walk, okay, I need to just deep dive into it. I was looking into other people's reviews and there's no middle reviews. It's all like, this is incredible. Whoa. 8/9 out of 10, or it's like, yo, this is really, really bad, you know. And I think I'm leaning towards the really good, okay. But at the same
it's
time
it's more towards that, but there is a bit of like centralist slash it has some issues.
You've seen it as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like, do you know, like what, just as like a quick like overview, okay, like what I thought about the film, okay, and I thought was so incredible about it, yeah, I thought it would be so kind of like impactful with its like the way that it's shot or like, you know, but to be honest, bro, I actually think it's probably one of the best written films I've watched in a long time, you know, because a lot of it is dialogue. A lot of it is dialogue. And a lot of it is based off like certain emotional moments. And I get like the criticism overall is that you only really get to know the characters when their ticket is coming up, right? When they're like about to go and you get to know them like in a deeper level, right? And I get that. But I also understand why we don't get to know them throughout the walk, because there's only so many times that you can actually highlight, you know, these conversations, and you've got to do it in a smart way. You can't give everyone their turn in order. It just doesn't make sense, you know. I think that the actors, and I think David Johnson is becoming one of my favorite actors.
Yeah,
you know, like I freaking love that guy. He's incredible emotionally. Like I've now seen him do the funny man thing. I've seen him be serious. I've like a drama. You know what I mean, he's really good, bro. Like he's really, really good. And his support, no, his co-lead,
Cooper Hoffman.
Yeah, Ray. Right. The guy plays Ray.
I think it's Cooper Hoffman. Yeah.
Yeah. Was fantastic as well.
You know, it's Philip Seymour Hoffman's son.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Again, obviously one of the goats.
One of the goats.
Him in Mission 3. Oh my God.
Yeah, him in Mission 3 was terrifying, you know.
You know, watch him in a film called The Master. That is his best performance ever.
Yeah.
Him in Hunger Games 2 was good too. He was the games maker.
Makes sense.
Yeah, man. Plutarch. Yeah, cold.
Don't know why I've never seen the film.
Runs in the jeans.
But yeah, so like, yeah, I just thought that the dialogue that carried the film, you know what I mean? Okay, we didn't get to see the dystopian world kind of like until the end, do you know what I mean? Which I actually think was nice. You know, it was a whole different like perspective. Mm. The shock of when the tickets were up was like terrifying. And then someone like seeing like the stages of like grief or the stages of like realization and like the choices, you know, that we make and almost like our own brains imagining what world they're in, you know, was so fun. But I understand why generally people might not be like, oh wait, I've got to think about what is the surrounding of this, you know what I mean, because they don't give you much. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed it, man. And it's a Stephen
King book,
bro.
Stephen King is funny because it's like, because he's such a machine, like he writes so many book per year, right?
What's he done this year again? So this
and the Life of Chuck came out this
Life
year
of Chuck.
Oh yeah, that was also,
and there's one more,
King as well.
There's one more.
That's the only one I'm aware
of. Is it Weapons or him?
No, Weapons,
nah, Weapons him. Wasn't him.
That's an original. I think there might have been another one at the start of the year, I can't recall. But yeah, last few years he's had loads.
Yeah,
he's on fire right now.
Loads of novels that have been converted. The Long Walk is one of his first that he wrote. It just came out under an alias that he had on at the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Oh my god!
It was based on a lot of it was based on like comparisons to the war and the way like the walk is like an allegory of going to war.
Oh yeah.
Which was really interesting. I think it's a good film.
He has The Monkey and The Running Man coming out this year.
The Running Man, yeah.
The Monkey, I think it's already been out, yeah.
The Monkey, that's the, what's his name? The British guy.
The Monkey came out earlier this year.
Yeah.
What are you thinking
about?
The
horror film, right?
Yeah.
And then Running Man is like a comedy action thingy.
Yeah.
There's like a competition where like,
it's a remake of the, is there not Running Man before, no?
Not sure, I'm not too sure. But yeah, but
sounds like an Arnold film,
guys. That's really,
I think it's Running Man, right?
That's really interesting, man. Just about like the war comparison. There was a monologue where David Johnson was talking about like the meaning of life. Okay, and he was talking about how like the one thing that is guaranteed is death. You know, and up until like that point, okay,
no one really wins from the walk.
Yeah, and that the one thing that they can do is leave with love, and then you know,
which is what they built together, to be fair, him and Cooper Hoffman's character,
exactly. And Cooper Hoffman says like, what is there to love, you know? And then he says the trees, the skies, the what, you know, and just names like random things like that he just like looking around that, you know. And but then like it's so funny because obviously he tells him what he wants to wish for towards the end, that you know he wants to help people with like no families, etc. But then at the same time as well, like he actually changes his wish like a few times. You know, there was a time at the start where he was talking about, I'd wish for there to be two winners, you know. Okay, so then you know you can actually make friends and you know etc. And then obviously at the end makes his final wish, which isn't the wish that he
said it was,
you know. Said that it was going to be. And I think all of it was just so like emotional. I cried like twice, bro. I cried at the when Olsen's ticket.
Oh, played by something Wang. It's gone from.
Yeah,
he was good.
Not because his ticket, but because of the reaction from
what's his name?
The preacher kid,
Ben Wang.
Yeah. Who was the preacher kid? The dark skin guy. He was incredible
Arthur,
as well.
Huh? Arthur Baker.
Arthur Baker. Yeah, he was incredible as well.
British actor.
Yeah, his ticket got me. That's when I was crying like a baby.
Toot and Yacht.
Yeah, good. And it's like,
speaking of Toot and Yacht, I'll speak about him in a second.
Why?
Because he's in Steve.
Oh, he's in Steve.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
My thing.
How's Steve, by the way?
Steve.
Like, shout out to We Are Parable.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say as well. Like, shout out to We Are Parable. But Steve, also, incredibly emotionally driven film starring Cillian Murphy and J. Lai Kergo or Lai Sergo. I don't know how to pronounce his surname. But it is a film focuses on Jay's character who plays a kid called Shai. And it focuses on kind of like, what do they call them in Britain? Units?
Yeah.
Is that what they're called here? Like,
as in like the army stuff?
No, not army stuff. So it's kind of like a school for like troubled children, like who've been like arrested
Prus or people referral units.
Yeah, referral units.
Reform.
That's the one.
They call it reform school.
Reform school, essentially.
Is that,
yeah.
Is that in America?
No. It's a film based in the UK.
Yeah, we call it Prus, so people referral units. It's like when you get kids out of school. It's like centre.
Oh, okay.
They just changed the name to Peru.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. So it's kind of like based in the mid-90s, I think it was like mid-early 90s. And it's kind of like the idea of like reform school and centers, units, or whatever you call them, kind of like being introduced, and it focuses on the main two characters, which are played by Cillian Murphy, who is Steve, who's the headmaster of such a school.
Right.
And
Jay
Lycurgo's character, Shy, is kind of like the main kid the story focuses on, and the other kids like Tut and Yutz. Yeah, he's one of the characters in there as well, who's probably my third favorite character in there, because like they show the kids who are part of the units and why they're there and kind of like their various troubles. Mm-hmm. I guess
it's tough in there.
Incredibly emotional film, and the way it's shot, it's so beautiful as well, because like it's shot kind of like almost with, like, it's a mix of like actual, I guess, for lack of a better word, like actual film and in a mockumentary style, because the premise of the film is that Steve, the headmaster, got kind of like the BBC to come down to do a mini documentary on him, so they can put it on a segment, so he can put out the idea of reform school, and like he really cares about these kids who have these troubled lives, and he's like, look, if we can just give them the space to help them and do all of that, we can really do something. It has the vibe of like a Dangerous Mind, if you've ever seen that, Michelle Pfeiffer, right? Dangerous Mind.
Not sure. Do you know what's good? Yeah. What I like about like seeing like actors like that and doing Steve and doing like The Long Walk, okay, is that you're almost like, there's so many actors, okay, that we see and we think they have to bang off the bat, you know what I'm saying, whereas like he's been working.
I mean? Yeah, and just to kind of like focus back on your, because like he's the one who does not have a lot of scenes, but he's so impactful, right? Like so his character,
that's impressive, you know, because he plays a southern dude, isn't it, in The Long Walk.
Really?
Strong accent, like, probably the strongest accent.
Wow. Then,
out of the 50
like,
kids.
That, I don't know. Like,
he's like a
He's got a big future ahead of him then, in my
British
opinion.
British Senegalese, I believe.
Yeah, he's got a big, big future ahead of him then. Because, like,
Africa's cooking right now, you know.
Like, if we're talking about, like, total scenes, he maybe had, like, 15 minutes in total. But he was so impactful in
substitute role. Came in and made an impact off the
bench.
Yeah,
legit.
Have you heard man?
Sick man.
Have you heard us?
I've worked in, when I was doing the football stuff, I've been in Prus. It's one of the toughest environments for everyone involved, from like teachers who have to deal with young people who don't know like where they want to be in life and what direction they're going in, and so on and so forth. And they have their own personal troubles at home, which they carry with them to school naturally.
Exactly.
And if you put all of those kids in the same environment, is that conducive to young people changing the way patterns of behaviour or the way they see life? Or is it better to separate them from the children who are in school and behave themselves, quotation marks? Like, and there isn't really like an ideal sort of solution for it, because the children in school need to be able to have an education without being disrupted.
Exactly.
But if you put all of these people in the same environment who have similar behaviours or the same behaviour, where's the conducive sort of end goal for them to change?
I mean,
the
film tackles like the, like, just on Steve as a whole as well, the film actually does kind of like grapple with that question, because the problem is, sadly, is funding, right? Public schools in general are very underfunded, and it goes double and even worse for those referral units and stuff like that. Like granted, it's all paid for by the government, but the government with the slashing funds and whatnot. And what was so interesting about the film is that it brings up the conversation. Mind you, it's based within kind of like the mid to early 90s, right? And they're having the same conversation then as we are having now about teachers being underpaid, schooling system in general
parallels,
being underfunded and whatnot.
A story and forever, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's the fact that it's such a forever question right now, and the fact that we're still to this day, even though nowadays there has been a lot more research and a lot more answers on the way of like, oh, we can actually help those kids by putting them on like in spaces where they can actually learn effectively, like, you know, you for a lack of a better word, can't put them in regular school because regular school is so fucking busy as it is. Like, teachers be dealing with like 30, 40 plus kids in one class. It's like, you can't give special attention to everyone else. But yeah, it's good film, man. Good film for sure.
I'm gonna look in. That comes out 2nd of October, right?
3rd of October, on...
That's the second film of the year, so I think, for Killian.
Yeah, it's so it's out now in selected cinemas, but on Netflix it'll come out on.
It's
the
interesting.
Third.
He's gone for like two sort of more low key films following Oppenheimer, which is not surprising for him. Like
it makes sense, yeah.
But
yeah.
It also does make a lot of sense because he's probably got a lot of bangers on the way. Big like blockbusters. Right. I'll go quick. Slow Horses season 5. Got to see the first episode. Mm-hmm. So it's just a banger.
Is it?
It's just a banger.
Yeah.
It's just fucking good. It's very feels very current of the times. Some of the themes that are explored, mm-hmm. even though it was written in 2017. The book was written in 2017.
Really?
Damn.
So it's based on the fifth book, I believe, and he wrote that in 2017, but it's current today. Mm. But it's still got the same quips, dark humour, jokes. It follows these failed misfit agents who are like so interesting to follow. Gary Oldman, yeah, we've spoken about him before. He's phenomenal. I haven't seen the rest of the season just yet, but season 5 is a strong start. And The Girlfriend, one of the best shows I've seen this year.
Really?
Yeah, surprised me.
I'm always kind of like...
Caught me off guard.
Here and there with when our community, even like ourselves, but like not so you, to be honest, when we like praise something that we've been told to go watch or we've been invited to a fancy thing in your... Etc.
I would say that like I'm always kind of looking like what are you man saying? Have a problem with that, glazing things too many times
or too like, early or they'll like generalize like, hey guys, go watch this, but not say how they feel. Do you get me? Okay, so I was kind of like waiting for you to say your piece.
That's fucking banger, man.
And and then you did. I think a couple of days ago you dropped
reviewed
it. Yeah. And then I was like, he seems genuine.
Yeah, it's like I'm not getting that industry fakeness.
He seems genuine.
Olivia Cooke. Yeah. I'll give a quick premise of the series. She's good milk. I'm going to throw that out there.
Judge That's me. The only premise you need, guys.
It follows a mother called Laura who's like got it all. She's well financed, house, holidays, cars, life is great. Yeah. Has a sort of precious son who she loves. From the offset, it has this weird relationship where you're like, That's a bit weird. Mm. Like, incest is kind of weird. It doesn't ever really go there, but it treads the line closely enough where it makes you think, this is odd.
Yeah.
Anyway, Daniel Hassan brings home a new girlfriend, Cherry, played by Olivia Cooke, who's phenomenal. Mm. And the series gives you both of their perspectives of events that occur, but we get to see how one person views it and the other. So each episode is like Cherry versus Laura. Cherry's perspective, Laura's perspective is 6 episodes. So if that was longer than 6, it would have been a bit too much because it's like, okay, we get the point.
It's quite
concise because it's 6 episodes and you get to see how you can misconstrue an interaction with somebody just based upon because it's your perspective and not theirs and they'll see it differently. So sometimes you need to give people grace, but sometimes you don't because sometimes people are fucked.
Yeah.
People are actually manipulative or they are psychologically, a bit insane in the head. And you get to see how both of them in the end, in my opinion, are unwell, just in different ways. It's concise, it's tight, it's like a thriller, it's really funny, it's really quippy, it's got a great acting cast. The cast is quite concise, so there's not too many
characters
to follow, which works for 6 episodes in a season, and it's a genuine good show. Now, is it for everybody? I don't know, because some people are. If you're willing to just have fun with the series, it's a lot of fun, and that's why I have it up there as one of my favorites. Will it be top 5? I don't know, because it's been a decent year for TV, I think. It's Olivia Cooke and Robin Wright who wrote the first 2 episodes and directed the first 2. She's in House of Cards.
Yep.
She plays Frank Underwood's wife. What's her name in House of Cards? Do you remember?
I will find for
Doesn't
you.
Really matter.
That's where I recognise her from.
Yeah, she's in House of Cards.
Okay, yeah.
She's
really talented.
It's a really good show. Really good show.
Claire
Underwood, that's the one. So I'd recommend that.
I will look in. I'll look in.
It's
I'll
easy
in.
Watch as well. Prime. And I'm not a Prime guy. Prime. Yeah, I don't really look into Prime.
I mean, like, just to speak on streaming, I think Prime might be the worst of the lot.
We're going to have Netflix. To assess them at some point.
Huh?
More than Netflix?
It's worse than Netflix.
I think Netflix has been on a slump for a couple of
Netflix
years.
Has been in a slump. Are you
talking about
but Netflix has
originals
the
or the Netflix platform?
The thing with Netflix, we'll discuss it properly. They throw so much at the wall, something sticks.
Yeah, exactly.
And enough sticks in a year because they throw so much at the
exactly,
wall.
Exactly.
So you're just going to get something. Whereas Prime, I don't think they promote their stuff well either. You could argue they're just as bad
and
as
it
Apple.
Has the worst platform in general.
Oh,
it's
the user.
The UI is
who?
Awful. Prime.
I used to hate Apple's. He used to hate apples.
Apples so clean.
No. So clean. Now it's nice. But like when it like first launched, I couldn't, it kept on, do you remember, you're not going to fucking remember this. When Apple TV launched, yeah, years ago, okay, yeah. We were in my room, right? And we were trying to watch.
Why are we always in his room? What's going on?
We were trying to watch Captain America.
Yeah, why don't you watch this in the living room, please?
Yeah. Huh? But all right, they had a big living room. I don't know why they were in his room, but all right.
I'm pretty sure at the time, the living room, the TV wasn't working or something.
Yeah,
like
facts,
that.
Bro. Yeah,
there were things that so you got packed up in the bed together.
That's convenient. Yeah. That's convenient.
Jason? Bro,
I don't know. Do you agree?
But he said, I don't remember. I don't think it happened.
We'd always do that. Me, Curran, even Charles.
Bro, bro, we'd walk in the yard, right, yeah? We'd walk in the yard.
Do not say Charles.
Bro.
We'd walk in the yard, right, yeah? We'd be like, where are they? We'd be like, horse's room. We knock on the door, there's three men on the bed.
Exactly.
What's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on?
It's life, bro.
That was a regular occurrence.
It comes
to move
your manhood, yeah.
Fam, we'd have like three guys in the bed and then like a guy on the fucking chair.
They're under the covers.
They're under the covers. Okay, it's too far.
Now we're dragging it.
Sorry, one battle after another.
That was Curran, by the way. Okay. But no. There was a time, okay, where we were trying to watch Apple TV, and I was trying to figure out, okay, and then I end up fucking buying Captain America Civil War. I didn't mean to buy it because I was just like, I didn't know how to use the fucking interface.
Platform, yeah.
But now I've got it forever, so
it's clean now. It's clean. It's so clean.
But yeah,
cool. We'll look at it now. But that's a great segue to go into
one of the films that will be talked about for sure, at least. It's going to be an interesting discussion because I feel like there's various.
Nah, you've done a dickhead thing there. Where it's just like, because it's getting so much praise to people who are like, it's going to be the film of the year. And you're like,
he's pulling back. He's
like, the way you sounded is like, you pulled it back. He was like, it's going to be talked about for the year.
But I said talked about. You know how does that? Like, we are witnessing history. PTA again.
Because obviously, we don't have a camera on kids right now. His dick is out. All right?
By the way, I am involved today. Thoroughly, because it's a PTA film.
Didn't deny that his dick.
This is
out.
One of the films that kind of crept up on us quite quietly and slowly and surely.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't think there was much hype about it until,
huh?
Probably until the film actually. I don't think so.
Really?
Until the film actually like landed and the reviews came. Obviously, the trailer came and everyone's like, Leo, excited. Paul Thomas Anderson, excited. Yeah, but I don't think. When you think about the films that came out this summer, you're talking about F4, you're talking about Fantastic.
He's right.
I agree that because the trailers actually aren't good. I only gave it grace because I saw PTA's name and I saw
Leonardo DiCaprio.
And I said, safe. Those two names, I already know that I'm locked in. But when I saw the trailer, if it weren't those two names, I would have been like, yo, have they missed?
Exactly. And the film has a lot to say to an extent, I believe, but we'll get into it.
Yeah.
Opening thoughts just before you watch the film, how are you feeling about going in to watch this film, Jace and Huss, both of you?
I was so curious because the cast is what made me raise a huge eyebrow. Because Leo,
what about the cast?
So
Regina Hall, Leo,
Sean Taylor.
I'll get onto her in a second, but like in the terms of like when I look at a cast, I'm thinking safe bets: Regina Hall, Leo. I can't remember
Sean Penn,
Wood Harris.
Who's
like,
the Spanish scout? So the
Benicio del Toro.
Yeah, him. Like I've seen those names before, and I'm like, okay, cool. But
would you call this stacked?
It was kind of.
I say it was
stacked.
A well built team. They went.
It was stacked. I think it was stacked because I do like those actors. Tiana Taylor is the one that threw me off the most.
Why
because,
so, sir?
No, because
why,
like
his bitch isn't here, so
I have to
play her role.
That's all good. I've not seen Tiana Taylor in many acting roles. I've only heard from her in her singing.
Have you watched 1,000 Words?
No.
You have, right?
No. So this is her first like acting role that I've seen. Right, and I've only heard her through songs and whatnot, and I never found her to be that great of an artist. So I kind of like looked at
her. I think she's better behind the camera. She does like a lot of things with like directing videos and music videos and things like that as well. Where like
she's a good artist.
I think she's good.
I think she's a good artist.
She's on good music.
The album that
she's okay. She's not bad or anything like that. I do think she's an incredibly talented woman. Like as a performer, I think she's an incredibly talented performer. Right, Fade. even the one that she did with what's her name? Yeah. Like so, I think she's a great physical performer, but I've just never seen her as an acting role.
So you were intrigued by her? I guess. You was intrigued by her performance. Not her. I mean, you could have been. I understand. But you were intrigued by her performance.
She's also fantastic food, bro.
I wouldn't describe a black woman as food, but I get you. I get where you're coming from.
He's in that bag.
He's in that bag. All right. Sorry, not to objectify her. Which, I mean, I guess we'll get onto that as well. But like, I thought, like, I was like, okay, cool. I don't know. I thought it was just like a, like for a PTA film as well. I thought it was a, other than Leo, I was just like, oh, I don't think.
Sean Penn.
Other than Leo and Sean Penn, I don't think.
In makeup, cold.
Other than Sean Penn and Leo, I don't think that's a regular PTA cast. So I thought to myself, like, okay, cool. Like, I this can't is lie. Very
I
interesting.
I was, yeah, I can see because. I think, so, yeah. I was like super intrigued with the Regina and Tiana casting, but I was intrigued in a gas way. I was like, yes, bro.
I'm so glad that
they're in a film that isn't about slavery or that isn't about a black man cheating.
Depends.
Or isn't.
Or a slapstick comedy. Yeah, Regina Hall was like kind of known for.
Yeah, but
but she kills it though, by the way.
No. But also, by the way, thing, recently she's been in some bangers, bro. Okay. But like,
she's in a movie with what would be deemed an orator. You know, someone that's like a highly esteemed director who makes art house films rather than some of the blockbuster stuff that we're used to seeing. Which is
I actually think the older she gets, she has a more expressive face. Her face is so expressive, bro. Like, and it's like,
Regina we're talking about, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I freaking love her. And I actually think for Tiana, even though obviously we'll get into it, she wasn't my favorite in it, okay? But I'm so glad for her, though. Like I'm so happy
that she had
that experience, like, okay? Mm-hmm. And that she can actually fucking grow from it and become a top director. I actually think that she's got potential there. Do you know what I mean? Okay. It's just that, that role might have been even a bit too close to her own personality. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, I actually think she needs to come a way out of that a little bit.
Just a little bit more.
Yeah. Okay. But she was incredible. Like, as in just in the general scope of things, she was good. She wasn't the best. Okay, but bro, I was really excited. Really, really excited, man.
Fair. The basic premise. I mean, you could argue the film is complicated in a one sense, but if you strip it back, I do think in its essence it is quite simple in terms of if it follows this washed up activist who was once somebody who of prominence within the role of activism alongside Perfidia Beverly Hills. He plays Bob Ferguson. We're talking about Leo here, by the way. So Leo plays Bob Ferguson, who's 16 years after being an activist. It's sort of washed up.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's more like a rebel than he is an activist, isn't it?
Activism,
I
mean,
and
it turns into a cat and mouse chase between him and somebody from his past, if we strip it back to its basic premise. Where do you guys stand with the film? Hush, you go first.
I said this, and I think kids are going to agree with me, it's okay. I'm not too sure, okay? But I said this afterwards when we were outside in the lobby bit, and I was like, I think doing a complicated... And stick with me here, guys, okay? I think doing a complicated film... complicated is easier, okay, like an Inception or something like that, to a certain regard, because if you get it right, you get all the praise for it being this genius film, blah blah blah. If you get it wrong, then it's too much. I think doing a simple film complicated is a lot more difficult, because what you're trying to do is you're taking kind of like a storyline that most people can probably write. Like, I actually think, okay, that we could have wrote that same plot line, okay, for the whole film. I think it's very, very simple, right? But the way it's shot, the way that the dialogue is chosen, okay, and that for me, it was the most important thing, okay? The way that the story was told and the scenes that it cut to and the time that it gave certain people in certain moments was my favorite part about the whole film. The pacing for that was incredible. It was 2 hours and 42 minutes, okay? It felt like I could have gone for another like 20 minutes. Yep. Do you know what I mean? Okay. So like all of that in mind, them doing a simple premise and building it like that, fantastic. My only criticism in regards to the
Save
pacing...
It. Yeah.
Okay.
Same.
Cool. Okay.
But we'll do like positives.
Yeah. But that's my joke.
Yeah. Jace.
Yeah. No. I think I largely agree with her. Like, I think the dialogue is probably the best part for me about the film. The dialogue, and I guess some of the shots.
Because
when we were out of the film, I think you and somebody else.
Dan. BB Manic, Dan.
Maybe.
Who's having...
You were talking about like how this film like probably would need to be seen in like IMAX with like a wider screen.
Oh, that was Zach.
Yeah. And I like when he mentioned that, like I could just think of like
it was shot in square, right?
Because of the V, the word
VistaFilm.
VistaFilm. That's VistaFilm. Yeah.
So it's from like the it was made by Paramount, I believe. For, yeah. But like it's
you can tell in the grain.
Yeah,
the
you can tell
well.
In the grain. Yeah, yeah, exactly, okay. Exactly. But like just like some sort of shots probably would. Look amazing like on an IMAX screen just in general and stuff.
Yeah,
I just thinking that like you know this film is beautifully shot with that kind of like
Vista. It's a PTA film.
It's a PTA film, so it's gonna look beautiful. I think the dialogue was so good.
Quick question for you.
Go on.
What would you describe for those that don't know, for people that aren't necessarily versed in our world, what would a PTA film be look like or thematically, what does that look like to you?
I don't know about themes, but
hardly any CGI. That's a big thing for him. Okay.
Yeah,
he uses kind of like he loves to build sets, okay, or to obviously be on
location.
Yeah,
okay, which is so him. There's a film coming out with Michael Cera and stuff soon with him in it. PTA film. But even the trailer for that looks freaking incredible. Do you know what I'm saying? And then also he does the
dialogue driven films.
Correct.
As well.
He does the Tarantino thing where he lets them talk. He just lets he lets scenes breathe. You know, quite a lot and like heavily
in dialogue. Also, I was going to say like a lot of his shots they almost feel like oil paintings a lot as well.
Yeah,
you can pause a lot of like. His films, and it feels like someone showing you like an art gallery almost.
Yeah,
like,
facts.
He loves those kind of things.
Facts, and even the fact that we went to the early screening, right? And the thing that they used to promo it was just a prop from one scene tells you everything. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, because like usually it's like those screenings are themed around the whole show. You know what I'm saying? Okay, but that was from that one scene, him in the dressing gown and the telephone box. Okay, do you know what I'm saying? But again, it proves your point because it's such a picturesque scene, even though it's something as simple as it was a telephone box. He could have easily shot that over the shoulder. Okay,
yeah,
but he didn't.
There's the wide angle of it, and then it zooms in, comes back to white, and it's the colors are beautiful.
Like, even some of the scenes from the dojo,
the super wide lenses.
I think to answer your question, like what you are going to get from a PTO film is art gallery type shots, very dialogue heavy,
very like fly on the wall, like us.
Us being a fly on the wall, almost seeing kind of like. I don't want to say a day in the life, so to speak.
In the world, though.
You're immersed in that world.
I'd be curious to find out how long his films, in general, take to shoot. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I can imagine that'd be insane hours.
He's in his bag today. I can feel it.
Today I'm glazing. Boys and girls, I am glazing today.
His bag.
just kind of like while we are on positives, I think we can probably... tackle the performances.
Wait. First of all, guys, overall sense of the film.
Oh yeah, thank you.
Oh, you set me up. So going into the film, literally the reviews came out like an hour before the screening.
Is it? I didn't even clock.
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, and then it was one of the films of the year. The rave reviews, best Leonardo DiCaprio performance. Film you need.
What
to
like
see.
Ever?
That's what I've seen from some people. Yeah,
that's kind of crazy.
You need to go watch this movie. All that kind
of stuff. Yeah.
Which is fun. I have no qualms of that. I think the film is really good. I just don't think it's there in terms of like the must watch. I get why it's really good because I think what the film does, without going too much into my thoughts, is it strikes a balance between. Has some in-depth themes which are pertinent and prominent of today's world, which are so important to tackle in any form of art. But it doesn't necessarily like throw you in there, which might be an issue to some people. But for general audiences, I think it's going to give you the best of both. It's going to give you some themes that it dives into, and it's going to give you an easy movie to follow premise-wise.
Yeah.
He's got a good point, bro.
So it fits into the middle path of like, the general goer can go and watch this and they'll get something from it.
Yeah.
But the film bros like you are going to get what you want from the movie as well. You're going to get the art house feel.
Kids.
That's more praise for the movie from what
just generally speaking. Now, I do have issues within that.
Yeah, let's get into that.
But no, I'll save the issues for later because they're not like, they're issues I think you'd agree with once I get to them.
Say no more.
But yeah, in terms of the film, it's really good. The second half of the film is where I was really locked in.
Yeah.
The first half, I think it requires a bit more piecing together because there's a lot of separation within scene to scene. And a lot of jumping from timelines and so on. Whereas the second half tells you a much more concise story where you're following the cat and mouse chase. And everyone loves a cat and mouse chase in a movie. Mm-hmm. That's one of the most, or a TV series, because it's like, will they get caught? Will they not? When we get, you wanted to get into performances, the man himself is incredible. Like, he's just super talented. He's the man.
I don't think he is him.
Like
I don't think it was his greatest performance, but at the same time, it was okay. The one coming,
but he wasn't the best.
Wait, hold up. Yes, he was.
Leo.
Yes, he was. Wait, no way. For me, he was.
You're gonna say what? Sean?
Regrettably,
no, bro. Wait, pause. There was a point, okay, where I said to you, man, right? Okay, I was like, there was a point in that film where I was watching Leo, and I was just like, wow, like. Forget this film. This guy is such a fucking incredible actor.
Yeah, of course. That's no question.
And he might, and probably is for obviously a lot of people, but he might be now
the GOAT.
The greatest actor I've ever seen in regards to the profession. Forget the films that he's chosen as a talent, right? Bro, there was the scene right at the start. Yeah, he didn't even say a fucking word yet, bro. And they were gearing up for the first raid.
Yeah,
okay? Do you know what I mean? Okay, and then he's kind of like looking around and he's trying, you know, if he like find his feet and stuff. Yeah, and he felt
out of place.
Yes,
yeah,
he felt straight away. Place, like, you're like, why is he here?
But like, why was I so engaged with him? He hasn't said a word yet, bro.
Do you know what it's about, Leo? You get that, me? That I've clocked. We often forget how good this guy is because he's been famous and suffering for so long that we literally just see Leo, we're like, Leo's gonna be, then we watch him, we're like, he's one of the goats.
You know, I don't disagree. I think he is one of the goats. I think this film is just another reminder of it. I just think that Sean Penn's performance for me is just like he pulls out. He's an actor who I do not like that much. And
really?
That's a real life aspect, right? But I do this thing where it's just like I'm trying to get away from separating the art from the artist, and I'm just like, do you know what? If I don't like this nigga, I don't like this nigga. And Sean Penn for me, what kind of like. His performance was so good that I was just like, fuck, man.
Have you seen him in anything else other than this, by the way?
He's seen him in better things. Have you seen him in other things other than this?
I've seen him in things I can't name because they're old films.
So you knew about his credibility going in. I knew about Sean Penn.
I knew about his credibility, like, because he is a Oscar winner.
Yes,
and I knew about that, right? So I know that he's a good actor. I'm not here to discredit him for whatsoever, but like,
I think he had an easier role to play.
Yeah.
I think he had an easier role to play.
Of course, I think he had an easier role to play, but like sometimes...
When you're given a specific character with a specific character trait or a specific genre, I think even though at times it seems like the more complicated character, I actually think it's an easier role to play.
No, I don't think Leo's character... I don't think Leo as Bob Ferguson is so much more...
It's antagonist, not a protagonist.
So Sean Penn would have been the
antagonist.
Bro, are you mad? What you're about to say is crazy, bro.
I don't think... No, what I'm going to say is like, I don't think Leo's character is so complicated.
But I think he's got more layers, though.
Yeah, the layers.
He's got more layers, but like with Sean Penn's character, right? Like, I do think that the layers, even though he is playing the bad guy, right, I think some of the layers that he tapped into,
what are they?
So a man who is like a racist at heart, right, but he's kind of like dealing with the duality of like the fetishization of black women, for example, right? I think to show that on camera is to really portray that, I think is actually quite hard to do, to actually tap into the mind of a racist white man, right? I think it's a lot harder to show on screen because like a lot of people would just be like, oh, just say the N-word or just say this, right? But like you really tap into the psychology of it, like towards the end of the film when he does find out that
Christmas Club.
His daughter, right? But he's spoiler alert, sorry, this is going to be a spoiler-esque review. Like the fact that his racism over Trump, like, and he says it himself, like being part of the Christmas Adventurers Club is a higher honor than being your father. Like, deeping into that whole psychology of a racist white man who does.
Yeah, but he still said though that if your mother was still here and still alive, then we maybe could have got to know each other. Do you know what I'm saying? So actually,
no, but like, but he's saying it in a way. But he's saying it in a way.
Gassing, fam.
No, but he's saying it in a way. Of course, he's gassing. But that's
he's saying that. He's saying that.
But that's the kind of like duality of a racist white man. Like this is going to be an unnecessary stat to kind of mention, but I think it does add to the point. You look at, like, you know, like Pornhub every year does the top most watched stats per state in America, right?
I didn't know that at all.
You look at the southern states.
Did I?
A lot of
this is all new information for me. All
right, fair enough. It might just be me. I just might be in certain spaces. Yeah.
I was trying to make him not feel weird.
I do know.
But that being said, though, right? So you look at a lot of the southern states when they put up the stats, though, right? Southern states like Alabama, Kentucky, all these places, Texas, super, super racist. But their stats for like interracial porn, for example, are the highest. They're the highest consumers of interracial porn, like, because they are fetishizing black women. So, and I think Sean Penn, the way he displayed that duality of like even this first interaction with Leo, where he's like, I fucking love black women.
Yeah.
No, you don't. Yeah. You don't love them. You fetishize them. You want to have this slave owner mentality over them. Like, he never loved Tiana Taylor's character. Like, he saw her as an object to objectify. Like, even his child and whatnot. That's why he was willing to have her murked. Okay.
She was fetishizing power. Right, and the power that also, you know, died.
What is this, Tiana Taylor's character?
I agree.
Like, I think, like, and Tiana Taylor's character did also well, but I think, like, speaking of Sean Penn's, which is why I think his performance was so much better, is
so
because.
Much?
So much better might be crazy, but why?
I reckon he's
going to
get nominated for an Academy.
Right? I think he's going to get nominated for an Academy, but like, I think the way he was able to give us the exact psychology of a racist white man, I thought so well done, and all credit to kind of like
for you
PTA as well.
Yeah. Two questions.
Yeah.
What stood out for you from Leo in this movie? And secondly, not where do you rank it per se, but where does it differ from some of the other roles you've seen him in quite recently?
I think both of those questions kind of like merge together, which is great. But I think like what I loved about him in this, okay, was just like his timing of his words, okay, his interactions. The best part about the whole film was him talking to other people.
Yes,
do you know what I mean? Okay, that was the best part of everything. Him on the phone call.
The sequence of him and Benicio del Toro.
That whole 20-minute sequence,
probably my favorite scene.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? Okay, that whole sequence of him being at the front door and then eventually falling off the roof. Not realizing what's going on around him. Whole scene there, okay, was outstanding. And obviously, del Toro as well. You have to give him a huge shout out there too, okay, because the support cast was breathtaking. But like him in those environments and him kind of like feeding off people was my favorite thing about him in the whole thing. Him and the guy on the phone was incredible. Yeah. Even him, by the way, at the start. And you're right, at the start, like, the story was a little bit convoluted. Okay, they jumped kind of a few scenes when obviously the child was born and stuff. Okay, so we didn't really know where we were, you know, and where the French 75 kind of stood. You know, we didn't get an understanding of what their world was, what the underground system was. You know, okay, how serious it was. All of the code names that we got that in the second half. Okay, but we didn't get a touch of that, you know, at the start. But there was one bit where they tried to show it, and it was when he was talking to the guy that got caught eventually, and the kid was like calling the thing. He got caught. Whatever, the tech guy.
On the radio. Yeah.
Yes. So there was a scene at the start of the film. Okay, around 10-15 minutes in, when they got caught, and he's explaining to Leo about how to use everything. You know what I mean, and that stuff. Even that, by the way, he says like three words, bro. Do you know what I'm saying? But he's so engaged in it that it makes you feel like you're sitting where he's sitting, and the guy's talking to you. So you got to listen to what he's saying, and that's confusing in itself, which is incredible because that is a very clever technique. Okay, in film in general, it's called mirroring. Okay, it's basically you're not supposed to understand it exactly how it's supposed to be understood.
You're supposed to understand how Leo is going to understand it.
It's genius, right? Mm. And then when it comes to a point where it's going to be used, like those things, okay, you go, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Do you get me? So like all of that is what was my favorite bit about him, okay? And then like, compared to like his other roles, I think like my favorite thing about, there's certain characters, okay, there's certain actors that now we've watched them for so long that there's intricacies and acting techniques they use and we clock. I'd say like for Denzel, Samuel L. Jackson, Tom Hanks, you know what I mean? Okay, they have these words or the way that they say things or the way that
they say things as well. That, like Denzel's got the Denzel swag.
He's got the Denzel swag,
okay? So it's like you can tell that that's just how they act, okay? And I think what Leo has, I don't know if you guys agree with me, one of his signature things is when he shouts. When he shouts, like his voice gets like a little bit higher.
No, I hear it, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think especially in the last couple of years, he's had roles more like that as well.
Like Wolf of Wall Street.
Since Shutter Island, I've noticed he's getting into more like, not aggressive, but like he's shouting a lot more.
More expressive roles.
Yes.
Okay, so
Wolf is super expressive. Django.
Okay, yeah. Like these roles, okay, even where like he's had to be louder or show his like
Django as well.
Come on, bro, he's good. You know what I mean? Okay, so like I think like what is nice about this role is that he doesn't play one level of character or even two levels of character. Okay, he's actually, like I was saying, okay, he's a bit more layered than what I've seen him previously. Not all time, like the Beach, he was really layered there. Okay,
yeah.
Do you think he's got the multifaceted thing you'd want from an actor?
Because for the first part of the film, okay, he was essentially like a lover and an explosive tech guy.
A rebel.
I'm gonna pause you there. Obviously, the reason I pause you, I want to get back to what you were saying. No, Bisola was here.
Yeah.
Her episode's out next week for those that are watching. She doesn't believe that there was love between Perfidia Beverly Hills, who was Tiana's character, and Bob Ferguson. She thinks it was more lust. Do you see that?
I do see that. I think also we've all been there at some point in regards to kind of like... when you're around someone, when you're in like uni or if you're in like a football team or into like whatever it is, okay, when you're like
behind the curtain here,
when you're like around somebody or like when you're, it's the same thing of like
it's having like a proximity work husband, thing, isn't it?
Right? Yeah, like a work husband or stuff like that. Sometimes someone looks shinier and brighter to you because they love what you love. Right,
and you see them every day,
but then also they're not bad looking either. Do you get me? But it might not be the person that you actually want to be with. It's just the person that you are with. You know, fucking hell,
that's a bar.
Don't ruin it.
Sometimes just sit in that bar and continue.
I like you've been here before.
Come on, man. That was a bar. Compose.
So as I was saying, yeah, like,
this guy.
But yeah. So I do agree with her. You know what I mean? Okay, in that sense, and I think that's why she. I think Perfidia realizes that, you know, she's not even looking for love right now, okay, but she's probably looking for more lust, you know what I mean? And she's looking for like,
I think, because just to add on to it, like I do think that Leo's character was in love with her, it just wasn't
reciprocated,
because I do think that like is it Perfilia or Berfilia? Perfilia's character, like she's very like exactly how you said, like it was a proximity thing. It was like even
the thrill of the moment.
Exactly.
Sometimes, yeah, just
for sure.
The time that you're with somebody, it's like, oh, this is fun, and then slowly but surely, you know, quite what I thought you were.
No, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's nice.
Leo's multifaceted performances. Just back to that one.
Yeah.
Do you think he's been at his best in terms of his acting career? Is there a performance that stands out to either of you or kids that you think, right, that Leo stands out to me more than any other? Like I love The Departed, but I don't think it's his best. But I think The Departed is...
I think the film The Departed is so high that you think that. But I agree with you. If I think his best, ironically, it's the one that I argue about the most, because I don't actually think the film is as good as you think it is, The Shutter Island. But his performance in that is outstanding.
Yeah, so good.
His performance is incredible, and I think the best part about it is because you don't know what he's performing as.
Yeah,
you don't know
once you find out the twist, it's like, ooh.
Yeah, yeah. So then when you watch it the second time, you go, you're watching a whole different light. Oh, do you get me?
By the way, you might know, okay, you know, there's like a double twist though to that film though, isn't it? Like, he's actually cured at the end.
What film is this?
Shutter Island. Because at the end, like, he's not insane anymore, but he wants to die.
Oh, so he's still dead. All right, cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that role is a good example. Okay, I think it's a role that has to be directed in a certain way.
It's Scorsese.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't think
funny director scores. Like, yeah. Great funny though. Not like yeah, bad. Yeah. He just has quirks, which is like, this is a Scorsese film.
Yeah, just know, innit?
I actually don't think like Leo could have done that with a different director. Do you know what I mean? Okay, just
our best buddies.
Yeah, man. But just like the tone of it was outstanding. Okay,
but he's done a lot of multifaceted roles, man.
Yeah, no, yeah. But then like I was gonna say like one of my favorite roles was him in Django. You know what I mean? Okay, because he wasn't even like a main character, bro.
He's or a
like,
bastard.
Do you know what I mean? Okay, but he's such a bastard. Like, and he's a lovable bastard. That's the worst thing about it, bro. Do you know what I mean? Okay, from the start, like he talks with like a smile in his face, right? But what he's saying is horrible.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like he's smiling and he's talking and he's walking and he's confident. Okay, but what he's saying is fucking diabolical, bro.
Literally,
do you get me? And to play that role, and we've seen loads of these roles before, bro. Like plenty of them. Okay, and a lot of the time they're one level one, and actually the person playing like the slave master or whatever isn't the main person that we're focusing on. Okay, it's the people around them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But for that dinner scene or for the scene where he was
when they got introduced
to everyone, yeah. It was him. We were locked in with him.
And if you think about it, that's the first role of Leo where he is a diabolical person.
Yeah.
I think he's played maybe what you would claim to be the villain role. Like, I'm thinking like Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah
things like that. But
it's more
but
like
he's actually kind of like the diabolical person. Yeah. Like, wow. You got that as well?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think for me it's those two. It's Django and Shutter Island. And it's crazy because the films that made him famous, like really, really famous, obviously like Titanic.
Okay, yeah.
And stuff, okay. He played completely different roles.
You know what I mean? Which proves
your point anyway. Okay, you know, he has got this multifaceted kind of take to him. And yeah. I think the older he gets, and we haven't even mentioned the film that he got a fucking
Oscar for Revenant,
which I think that he shouldn't have got it for.
I agree with
okay,
you.
Okay, like
that's the thing. Because I think it came out.
The year after Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, he should have won it before Wolf of Wall Street. The one who won it before was
Matthew McConaughey for Dallas Buyers Club.
Oh, fairs and fairs.
Yeah, and that year, you could not have taken it from Matthew McConaughey. Because that was, like,
what,
you have to just put up your hands up and say fairs.
What's saying? Because you almost died.
No, but that's exactly what Leo got it for.
That was like
because he played this like realism, like almost dying character and whatnot. But for the Revenant,
I actually think that Tom Hardy was better in the Revenant
than Leo.
Leo,
there you go.
Like, do you guys genuinely think though it's easier to play a antagonist than a protagonist?
Yes.
No, I think it's easier to win an Oscar for an antagonist.
That's what I mean.
But it's not easy to play one. It's still a difficult task.
Yeah. No, I think, you know I think I agree on both points. I think it's easier to win one as an antagonist, and I do think it's easier to play than like to play a good protagonist. I think is harder than
or to play an Oscar-winning one. There's a difference.
A protagonist who's like interesting and that comes down to writing, I guess, as well.
Yeah,
of course.
I think interesting protagonists are hard because protagonists.
Oh yeah, sorry. That's what I meant.
Protagonists
can
be like, what is there to you?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, then
darkness to them, which people are always like,
or like a twist
attracted
them.
To. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then my bad. I got that mixed up. Yeah.
But I think
then
that's
I agree.
Why. I think that's why characters like in the superhero world, like RDJ and Christian Bale, and even now Rob Pattinson. Okay, I think that's why they're considered more for those roles. Okay, because they give you a little twist or like a little kind of like flaw. You know, with. You know, in that, but then also at the same time, I was okay. Like, Oppenheimer won a bunch of awards, right? RDJ won supporting actor, didn't it?
Killian, though, as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah, but
Killian.
Supporting act?
RDJ,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. But like, you could arguably say he was the antagonist.
Because he hated the main character.
Yeah, he hated the main character.
He essentially plotted
against him,
yeah. So like, you've got a good point because in that story, if he doesn't twist or doesn't become that person, he doesn't win That fucking Oscar. Mm-hmm. Do you get me? But he does a twist and you go, ah, it was a deep play. Yeah. You know what I mean?
To get through the rest of the cast before we maybe get into some negatives or where we think the film could have been better, I do think, firstly, Tiana Taylor was great. I would have liked to have seen more depth to Perfidia's character. Now, she performed...
Really?
She performed a sort of like alluring, sort of like... sensual black woman to very, very well.
Yeah.
And used her sort of sexuality to her advantage. And I think Tiana Taylor naturally does that anyway, but she performed it well as well.
Yeah.
But I just wish I would have liked to have seen more of Perfidia's character.
More
aside from that. Now you get that in a moment where it's like, where she's like, he doesn't love me, he loves my daughter.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have just sat with that a bit longer. 100%. The film kind of just skips away from that.
Yeah.
And then
obviously
we have the time jump. And it obviously focuses on her being the snitch and da 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 da. So we kind of lose the moment of, well, there's more to Perfidia than
even
just...
Because I wanted to expand on that and within when we actually go into the negatives, to be fair. But like,
she was great.
She was great. And, she was great. But like, I guess that's more of a writing
issue. It's a writing issue, not her.
That's a writing issue. Oh, it's a writing. If we don't set on longer enough.
Chase Infinity as well.
Chase Infinity.
Great debut.
Great film, right?
Because she was in Presumed Innocent like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. But it's
I think it's
a
movie debut. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
She was
really good.
Second half of the film, she knocks it out of the park. I think what she does well, she embodies a lot of the traits of Perfidia, which we get to see, whilst also showing you like the vulnerable young teenager that she is and like how warped her world is as a young girl who has life. She never really lived a normal life, right? Because of her parents. And you feel the ramifications of that. Yeah, she was also quite sharp and witty, and I really enjoyed her quips to her father, like with Bob Ferguson in the house where she was making jokes at him.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed all of that stuff. I think she was really good, man.
She was great.
Yeah. Looking forward to seeing more of her going forward for sure. Facts. And obviously you got like Regina King, you got Wood Harris, Regina Hall, you've got Wood Harris, Tony Goldin, like the cast. It's a very talented acting cast.
Yes.
I do wish that Regina got a few more lines.
Same. You know That's the only thing I wanted to see more of, another Regina.
Because she was our bridge. Like she was our understanding of what this like
of the
world
two worlds.
Was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and I wish that we answered more, because her relationship with Tiana's character, okay, and her relationship with Leo's character was super, super key, okay? Because obviously she was there when Tiana killed in the bank.
Was she there? She wasn't the one on the table.
Yeah, that was her. The names are insane, but I think that does probably go into the whole
fetishization. She was there, right? And then she was also there when she's pregnant. And then obviously,
she's shooting the gun. Yeah.
She's like talking to Leo, and then Leo's like she doesn't even know that she's that, you know, that she's
pregnant.
But she's also kind of like, so she's supporting the cause, but she's also the deaf friend. Do you know what I mean? Okay, and she's obviously helped them run away. She was the first intro to the world for Chase. Like she actually played a pivotal role into connecting certain bits, right? Yeah. I just wish that she got a little bit more. There was a scene in the nunnery place, okay, you know what I mean, whatever it's called, yeah. All right.
It was also like a weed farm as well.
So. Yeah.
The getaway.
Yeah. Well, there was a scene there where I think you can tell it was cut, where they were talking about her mom and her being the rat, and they're talking about kind of like, you know, where they are and da da da. And it was like 2-3 lines and then safe. I mean, also when like Regina kind of like heard the army guys, you know, if you
come in and
stuff, okay. And I just wish that we just explored a hot character a little bit more. And I actually think that I would have preferred it in the first half of the movie, because then you can slow her down for the rest of the film. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But in the first half of the movie, okay, in the part where, you know, before like the skip, okay, she should have been kind of like just had a lot more scenes with the other characters to push it along. Mm. But you know, obviously we didn't get it, and I didn't get why they didn't leave his daughter with her parents, with Tiana's parents.
Surely they would have just figured that out,
because they would have been the first person to look for, innit?
Yeah, but then
maybe Bob wanted to raise a daughter.
I mean, he didn't.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah,
he did, and he didn't.
He did, and he didn't.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Which I think Leo performed well as well.
Fair enough. Yeah.
The film's funny.
Fair enough.
The film is very funny.
The film is hilarious. Very funny.
Like Leo knocks out the physical comedy of the role.
Totoro as well.
he was great.
Del Toro.
The physical comedy as well as the actual literal delivery of, all of the humour. Like, he delivers that really. I think the physical comedy is just as important because he has to be so expressive with his actions and how he's portraying his, like, hysteria, because obviously...
That's what I mean.
He's an addict now and he's
don't panic.
He's a lowlife, right?
Yeah.
Don't panic.
He's a bum. He's a waste of space. And it was really interesting to see him perform that so well. But he's done it before. Wolf of Wall Street is also a very funny film in its own different ways.
Very
so.
Physical as well.
Physical
yeah.
comedy again, which he's
But only... I think it's like it's a different type of physical comedy that he's displaying. Because like in Wolf of Wall Street, of course, he's playing the high-earning Wolf of Wall Street, like
stockbroker
scumbag and whatnot. And then this one, like, as you guys were saying, like, he plays a bum. And I do think like those describe very different things. Like, even his hair, constantly
his
trying to tie back his greasy hair, like that fucking dirt ass robe that he's wearing and stuff like that. Like, the way he just looks,
he was great, man.
Fantastic.
Visually, what do you think of the film, Jace?
Oh, beautiful, man. I think there is only one film that I think is probably more beautifully shot. But I do think it's Sinners, by the way.
This is the film.
But that being said, though, you know, congrats, PTA. You're the second best, most beautiful film of the year. I'm joking.
I'm with you.
By the way, I absolutely agree.
I'm with you.
I agree, Jess.
Yeah, there you go.
I think we're going to see PTA, this film, clean up everything.
No, I think it will.
That's not the conversation.
But that's not the conversation. I think it will clean up everything. But that's besides the point. Like, so I think
I don't think it will.
We kind of know why it might do if it does.
Racismo. That's my excuse anyway.
Sinners doesn't have the advantage of coming out in March, April.
It won't be part of the conversation. I still think it will be.
No,
Sinners is a great film. It's going to be.
It has to be.
It's going to be nominated. It's going to be up there with nominated all of it. But this is going to be the film.
Is Leo's performance better than Michael B. Jordan's?
Yes.
Oh, let me think.
Now we have to consider Michael B's playing two characters.
Because people are dominant. Okay, they're gonna be like, you know what?
they're gonna say black bias.
If we say yes or no, they're gonna be like, well, you're saying that the film was better, or that he's a better actor.
No, just performance.
Leo is a better actor than.
But the performance for their respective films,
I'm going to give it to Michael B. But
I know because he's feminine. I'm gonna have to sit on that. I'm not gonna lie to you because
you hate Michael B anyway.
No, I don't. What? When did that answer come up? I rate Michael B.
Oh, you rate him? Manny. I think Manny is
Manny hates Michael B. I rate Michael B.
He just doesn't. He wasn't convinced by him. He hated the Black Panther performance.
I loved his Black Panther performance. I loved it.
Generally, with Michael B, there's only one role where I'm like, that was the rom com. Everything else, I haven't seen Fantastic Four. His Fantastic Four.
He was fine in it.
He was fine.
Everything else, right? Yeah, I've walked away and been like, yo, he smashed out the park.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't get how you can even look at Michael B and be like,
I think Creed. I'm not Creed. I think Sinners just took it to like a.
I think Sinners has kind of like made us look at him in a way where it's like, oh, he can. He has a deeper bag.
But then,
for me, it's a thing of like, you watch The Wire and you can say how deep his bag is.
That's what I'm trying to say.
And a Fruitful Station.
Huh? I'm from Fruitful Station.
So I already knew that guy had a deep bag in it. Like, I suppose if you haven't seen those, Sinners can change your mind. But I knew coming into it, like yo, he's got that bag.
Mm. Like, he's got a deep bag. I'm going to have to sit on it probably a little bit more. I might have to rewatch one battle after another to kind of like really make a definitive decision because I do think both actors smash a role. I think I might give Michael B. Jordan the edge just because he plays... two characters.
You know what I'm a slut for? A desert scene.
If
you have a good desert scene and it looks good, you can easily make me think that this is a good looking film. That's the one where
we just see the I guess it's a canyon really. Mm-hmm. And then just kind of like this, the splitting of the road and whatnot. Just that shot alone, I was just like,
there was also a shot which kind of misdirects you, and it was the ups. Yeah, it was like going up there.
I was like, you got me.
Because it kind of makes you think like something's happening and you're not sure. The misdirect is really what.
And that went up for time, by the way.
The way it builds tensions as well. I was going to say, like, because there are two things that PTA does so, so well in this film is the use of sounds and soundtracks.
Sound was really good,
right? Like the first time, like the way he was able to sit in a certain level of silence and then just kind of like flip it with the banging of noise, like so good.
The sound, not the soundtrack, but the sound like that, right? Yeah, it reminded me a lot of There Will Be Blood. Like, it was so haunting. It was so almost tense. Like, I was tense for no reason a lot of the time.
Bro, that's what I'm saying. Like especially like with the up and down scene.
Yeah,
like, you just expect something to happen, but it doesn't.
And it lets you sit in
that for so long. Another one was when they do the bank robbery, right? Yeah. Where Jungle Pussy's going on her monologue.
Her name is crazy.
She's going on her monologue, right? Yeah, and then like,
he didn't want to call her by her actual name, which is Perfidia Beverly Hills. He wanted to call her.
No, I'm talking about Jungle Pussy, when she's on the table, the dark skin.
She goes, my name is Jungle Pussy.
And then Perfidia's character, when she shoots the guard, but it happens while she's in the monologue, so you're so immersed in what she's talking about, and the way it takes you out with that gunshot, fuck man.
The scene at the end as well, I was sitting next to Ken and I said to him, I thought she was going to shoot him. I'm not going to say what because I don't want to spoil it for Charles.
Okay. She spoiled it, really? I mean, must she?
No, I mean, I've spoiled some bits, but I haven't spoiled the end.
I kind of have spoiled it myself. But I was like, is she going to shoot him?
Yeah, same.
But again, he doesn't
creep around straight away. And when you thought he has turned the corner, he still hasn't turned the corner.
Mm-hmm.
So every time she's getting ready to let go, I'm thinking, is she actually going to do it? And I thought she would. I thought that would be like the tragic Macbeth Shakespeare.
She
shot her father. Obviously, she didn't. And I'm not unhappy that it didn't happen.
No, but I'm happy that it didn't happen.
But then also, you still had the moment of like, she was like, obviously, if
she still weren't sure. She said, say the code. Yeah,
and she obviously said, if you say the code, but when she also screams twice, who are you? Okay, like screams it like think twice, and it almost felt like I saw somebody do a review, and they were like the first time that she says it feels like she's generally asking
like who are you
because she just found out who her father is. Okay, and she doesn't know if he knew or not. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, Evan, the second time is for the code. It's like, wait a minute, let me log back in, you know, and try not to get thingy killed here. And then obviously when they hug and she goes in the car and stuff, she calls him dad pretty quickly, you know, like really really fast, you know what I'm saying? So, and I'm so glad that we didn't get the explanation of how they're dealing with it, etc. It was just
we didn't need any of that. I thought it was fairly obvious as to why we don't need an explanation, like, and this goes all the credit goes to Chase within that scene.
Yeah.
Because after Leo is like, yo, baby, it's me, your dad, right? And she like lets out this proper guttural scream. And it's like, you see all of the things that she's gone through in a space of what, 24 hours maybe in the context of the film. Like, she has had to come to terms with, oh, not only like, My dad has raised me to be this way for an actual reason.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
I've been caught by this fucking guy. I found out that my dad isn't really my dad.
Yeah.
Like, she's going through so many emotions and like,
it's a lot.
It's so like, it's a lot. And like, you could almost tell, like, she couldn't really tell like fact from fiction at that point anymore.
Yeah, facts.
And then like, Leo had to pull her back from it, because she did almost fall into that Perfidia thing where Perfidia was so deep into this whole like rebellious activist bag.
Yeah.
Where she almost couldn't tell fact from fiction up until the point she shot the guard.
Yeah.
And then reality kind of like set in.
Yeah.
And then like, it, like for me anyway, it felt like a bit of a parallel where they're like, she almost fell into that, but Leo had to pull her back from it so she doesn't fall into it. So she doesn't make the mistake of shooting him just because he didn't say the code. And I thought like the way she was able to kind of like get over it by screaming as loud as she could, as hard as she could, to be like, okay, cool, I'm coming back. It's almost like, I don't know, in superhero films when they're just about to get overwhelmed and they just kind of like
lay it all out.
They lay it all out and they kind of like go into that deeper bag and find that new power shit.
You know what? It's like when in Dragon Ball Z when they're trying to hit the new Saiyan, when they're trying to become the new Saiyan, and they have to let it all out.
I thought the way it was shown and the way she kind of like displayed that, I thought it was like, you don't need context. You don't need further context. I should say I really like it, and it's not a problem that PTA has, but I really like it when films don't treat the audience like idiots. They don't need to be like, hey guys, just to let you know, this happened because this is. So
yeah,
you've done that well.
What are your issues with one battle after another?
Do you want to go?
The pacing at the start of the film, the pacing for the rest of it was fantastic. Just the pacing at the start of the film was was a little bit quick. I also do get it if it was done on purpose to kind of show you how kind of, you know, intense that part of their, you know, lives were. But when the baby was born, I feel like we just skipped over quite a lot of stuff. We didn't get the emotional understanding between her and Leo. Tian, you know, and we didn't get the emotional, like, we actually didn't get a relationship with her and the baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, at all. Like, we didn't even understand that part. There was one scene where all three of them were in bed together. It just kept alluding to, like, that scene. Do you know what I mean?
But I think that's the point, because it goes into a bit of a monologue, her inner monologue, talking about, like, oh, it's crazy that I'm jealous of my own daughter. Fact.
But then, like,
you don't get to sit with it, though.
Exactly. Which is, I think, a writing aspect issue.
And the thing is, it makes that, you know, her letter, like, at the end, mm-hmm. it makes it just mean a bit less. Do you know what I mean?
You think?
Yeah, for sure, man.
I think it does make,
because again, it's up to the audience to think about what that relationship was. You know what I mean? And that's fine, but I don't think you should leave too much scope for the audience to do a lot of the work for that. Do you know what I mean?
Might have to especially, disagree. Yeah.
Especially when, like, the reason you've left, like deep what she done, by the way. Mm. Yeah, she left her family, right? She killed someone, okay, because she was just acting out of fucking whatever it was, okay. Mm. She then runs away, doesn't go home, or like attempt to go home, okay. Stonewall, all right, if you say,
yeah, she's a wanted woman in America, whatever, now, though, at this point. Yeah.
Gets caught, rats people out, so then she doesn't go to prison, mm-hmm. okay. Like her own people. And then from that, because she's writing them out, she can't go back to the French 75 underground and find her way back to her family. And then for 16 years doesn't even attempt to find her family, okay, just sends one.
But she doesn't want to, that's the thing. But
that's the point. We don't get a deeper understanding of what's going through her head.
Are you that's my thing.
I'm just saying, okay, like, all we know is that she was jealous of her kid, right? And that's a real issue. That's postpartum, right? Postpartum
depression.
Yeah, okay.
Could be.
It's a real thing. I get it, okay? But you've now made a choice for 20 years, like a 20-year choice, like almost a 20-year choice to abandon your family, your friends, and everyone else, okay, because of that. Look into it a little bit deeper, okay? Understand that. And then also, it makes the scenes without her more impactful. It makes the scenes with Regina Hall in that thing where she's like explaining who she is and that stuff more impactful. It makes the betrayal with the rest of the French 75 more impactful, okay? It makes Sergeant, whatever his name is,
Lockjaw.
Yeah. It makes his rise to power more impactful. Okay, that just that twinge of understanding her relationship between her and her child, okay, would have helped a lot more, I think, in a way.
Okay,
it doesn't mean enough. Like 20 more scenes. No, it just means a couple more, just sit with us a little bit longer, for sure.
Personally, I was fine with that, but you know what, if that's added in, I've not got a problem with that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah. Like, I get it. I do think, like, he displayed it enough. Because, like I think what we know about Pophelia's character is third-person aspects from everyone else, which I thought was the aim.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, especially like her parents.
It's not enough, though.
Her parents say that, like, she's a runner.
She's a runner. She runs with the wind. Like, she goes where she wants. Like, we kind of tell, we know what type of person she is.
But we're just taking it off their word.
Like, after the kid was born, like, Leo's trying to take care of the baby and she's going out. And then Leo, and they have that exchange where he's like, oh yeah, go be an activist then, go be a revolutionary, like, instead of being here with your family, like, and it goes back to the point where it's just like, Tiana Taylor is never in the moment, she's always thinking about tomorrow. And I think within her letter, I think it shows the amount of growth that she has done within those 16 years, because she's like, fuck, I've been doing all of that and I don't even know my own daughter. But I do think, like, I do think it's valid at the NAA. As for criticisms, just to kind of like let that rattle off, I do agree with Biss in the aspects of like that there is a little bit too much fetishization of the black woman. And it does kind of like, it raises questions just, I guess, from a societal standpoint, where it's just like, okay, cool. Like, I get that to an aspect. It's like, it's the point of the film. It's the point of Lockjaw's character. It's the reason why, you know, the Christmas Adventurers club is trying to get murk them because like they do think that they're unclean and whatnot. Mm. I do think that, like, for me anyway, I don't think PTA has that bag to convey that message properly, in my opinion.
I don't get it, man. I understand when there's unnecessary like sex scenes or unnecessary like abuse driven scenes where we don't actually lead to much of like a telling of a story. Okay, you know, like, you know, we've had a conversation on this pod like a few times, right? But something like this, okay, like where the art form needed it, right? Like,
wait, you think it wasn't needed, the sex scenes?
No, I don't. The sex scenes is something different. I was just using like a different reference. I'm saying like going off of business point or the overall point of like fetishizing black women. Mm. Okay, but they were also highlighting highly racist white people, right? No. So like in a sense of like like that's said earlier. Okay, the duality of it, right, is everything. You know what I mean? Okay, like having and obviously Sean Penn playing that role. He can't play that role unless the fetishization is there.
No, I get it. No, that's the thing. That's the thing. Like, I understand why it's there and stuff like that. I just don't think that. And this is not just about the fetishization. Like, PTA, like, he touches on certain subject matters where I don't think he touched on immigration. That he touched on immigration. He touched on like
it's white supremacy.
It's a bit weird to say, like, because I don't know him as a person, so I don't know how deep he thinks about.
Did he write
things
it, by the
way? In real life, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think. I mean, he if maybe co-wrote it, but like I do think he had a large part in the writing process. But I do think he touches on certain subject matters that are. It's just like it's a little bit too surface level for me, and I do think the fetishization of the black woman, because that. Topic dives it like it is
but
a
how about
bit
the power,
too complex for you.
How about
to
because
portray,
because the first thing was a power play. He didn't start off with the fetishization of
it was a power play. But that's
women.
because Sean Penn's character. No, but like Sean Penn's character started it off with like, ooh, is this a playing time? And then that's when she flipped it on him. Mm. So it even starts with Sean Penn. Seeing Teyana Taylor's character and immediately being like, I'm going to sexualize this woman. And I get it. It's to his...
But she also...
She
sexualized him at first because she asked him to get hard.
Yeah, but that's after he was like... That's after he was like, oh, yo, are we playing? And she was like, okay, cool. If you want to play, let's play. Get hard.
Mm.
Like, so I do think that it was like... If Sean Penn's character didn't do that, I don't think Teyana Taylor tells him to get hard. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, I think they were both fetishizing each other.
I do think they were fetishizing each other too. Well, I think she's kind of like trying to take her power back from being fetishized, if that makes sense.
Probably, yeah.
He wrote it, by the way.
Yeah, so I do think he touches on subject matters that I don't necessarily think he has the bag for. So, it like, one thing I want to kind of like state, like, when I'm watching film these days, like, I like films which give me a clear... idea of what the director is thinking, right? And while I was watching the film, and don't worry, it will make sense, like I was thinking a lot about James Gunn's Superman. Yeah. In the sense of like the way he portrayed his film, he put his ideas, especially political ideas, out in the front, in the sense of like, you know, you see the parallels between real life certain conflicts and within Superman, and he's like, yo, I don't believe this is right, this is wrong. Whereas within One Battle After Another, I do think that the film feels a little bit like both sides are badsy, which I don't think is necessarily the best message to put out in today, because those topics are so relevant. Like, you know, Lockjaw's character, like, he's a colonel of a detention center of illegal immigrants and stuff like that.
And he's racist.
And those things are so inhumanely fucked, right? But then... like, he puts those parallels up with the French 75, where it's just like, well, the French 75 is also bad because they do domestic terrorism. They do these things. But it's like, one thing is clearly worse than the other, and I don't
think it's
see,
about right or wrong. Then,
yeah,
But that's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm saying. It should be. It's like it, if this day and age.
Why should it be?
Well, yeah, let me answer that question then. Let me answer the fucking question. I think in this day and age, with how real life is fucking going, we do need artists to portray that. And it doesn't have to be like a thing of like, oh, like I need a director to put out his art and it's like, this is what I believe, instead of being like a fucking fence sitter.
You haven't, but
and that's what it feels like.
But you, why you is feel he sitting like, on yeah, the fence?
I think it's
up to the audience to think what they
but that's my point.
To think, why should I tell you my, wait,
no, 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 no. I don't think a director should be like, this is what I think you should think. Like, I think you should be like, oh, this is what I think, let me show you what I think, and then we can just make our interpretations from there.
Because art is art, bro. It doesn't have to be the perception of his art to us. It can be art is the perception to everybody.
That's fine, but that's my point. Like, about this day and age, we need to start drawing like parallels into things. Like, we can't just be like, okay, cool, this is it. Like, we can't just have a middle of the road view.
I don't think he was too much in the middle, by the way.
I think he was.
I think we walked away from it knowing that, like, yo, that side, that the Christmas Club,
everybody can admit that it was racist was bad.
It was disgusting. Everybody can say that.
Yeah, but that's an easy thing to say.
It's not that, bro. It's the fact that he's also like a massive sergeant in like the US military. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a job that, you know, that he has. Okay. And that's an everyday job, and, you know, etc. So then the choices that he is making moving forward immediately are like compromised. Okay. Do you know what I mean? Okay. And then obviously having the fetish, or having the lust for Tiana's character, or just like black women in general, I don't think any of that makes it a political issue. I think it makes it a mental issue. I think it makes it a political issue.
You're talking about immigration, but I think we're talking about the US Army. We're already making it political inherently. Like,
no, but the political issue is obvious. Okay, it's not something that they hid. And bro, the greatest franchise, okay, of like all time, but one of them is The Dark Knight, right? And all three of them, Christopher Nolan used a superhero film the first film was essentially about the recession, okay, the Liam
Neeson.
Okay, the second film was about what do you call it? Fraud and money laundering. Yep. Okay, from foreign companies. Okay, yeah. Then the third film was all about was in the stock market. Do you know what I mean? Okay, and that power, right?
But he's making a point, but he didn't make it obvious.
It's no superhero film. It wasn't obvious. You just said it has to be obvious.
No, I don't think though, Jason, that things have to be.
It's obvious enough. It's obvious enough.
For who?
Surely for the audience, like, you can pick up on those. Okay, cool, this is the idea. That
how can you pick up on that, okay, when the fucking Joker is laughing, ha ha ha, you know what I'm saying? Okay, like,
no,
how
no, are people no. like, gonna I don't, okay, be like, yo, to yo, clarify, I don't need people to go on camera and say I actually think this is bad. I don't need to do that, right? But I need to go away from that film thinking like, okay, cool, like, the ideas that you have, you've portrayed it.
Are you scared of your own ideas?
No.
So then what's the difference?
The issue for me with the themes,
go on,
is that they're surface level. I agree with you. I think they're there. There are so many present and prominent themes, right? Mm. And I think the issue probably is with my issue with the themes. There are so many in there, and none of them really get a focus per se. It's just there's quite a lot of important themes. Immigration, as you mentioned, the fetishization of black women, authoritarian power and all that sort of thing. Like, there's so much in there. A mother and a daughter's relationship or lack thereof, postpartum depression, addiction. There's so much in the film. And I think some of them get a really good focus, like Bob Ferguson's character in terms of his addiction, his issues raising his daughter. Mm. The activism is obviously very prominent, but I just think some of them just feel very much stuffed into the film rather than, you know, getting the focus that they deserve because of how prominent and purposeful they are in today's world. Now, I think with what you guys are talking about, it's kind of two different things. I think PTA saying, here are the themes, you decide what you... what you understand from them and your opinion on them going forward. Whatever your political opinion is or whatever your personal opinion, you can decide what you want to take from what I've put in the film.
Yeah.
What you're saying is more of what James Gunn did, where James Gunn actually took a stance and he said, this is wrong. And that's it.
This is where I stand.
Now, this is where I stand. But like,
now that doesn't mean one is better than the other per se, but your preference is you want your directors or your artists to say something with their movies, with what their beliefs are.
Yeah, like
take
a stance. And I do think, which like, is just with how today's current political climate is, I do think we do need more people taking a stance.
Now, James Gunn's saying we need more good people in the world. We need people to take a stand on the bad side of the world. And obviously the conflicts that's going on currently in terms of the other side of the world. Mm. That's very obvious. Whereas PTAs are obvious, but he's not, I don't think he's telling you that this is bad.
But he's showing
you.
He's like, this is what's going on, by the way.
That's the thing. That's my issue because...
Like, you decide
what you're going to take. But that's what's going on.
But isn't that kind of mad?
I love that.
Isn't that
mad? I love that.
I think that's mad. I think if you show me a side where it's like the... Like, with speaking of one battle after another, specifically, right? The justification that Lockjaw uses to raid that town that they're in, right? Like, he made up a fucking lie. And then it's like, to not take a stance and be like, that's fucking insane,
but
it
is, though.
No, but it is.
We know that. We're taking that from that, bro.
No,
no one's leaving that going like, ah, it's totally justified. We've all gone like, yo, this no, is...
I think where I'm standing is just... The themes are really prominent and purposeful and interesting. Mm-hmm. Take a few out and have more of a hyper focus on what you're trying to say. That's just me.
Do you know like the immigration part? You know, like when Del Toro went, but when they were going upstairs and there was all those families like sleeping and stuff. Okay, like I'm like I hate this, by the way. Okay, I'm not mad at directors doing what you're saying. Mm. I'm just saying it's not a must for me. But if they do it, oh my god, sick. Okay, but I feel like, looking at that scene, okay, and then half of that freaking cinema, okay, being like, oh, disgusting. And then half of them being like, look at how the people are treating them, or government's treating them, okay, these are asylum seekers, blah, 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 Jameson, okay. I think that's a real representation of life, do you know what I mean? Okay, and it's unfortunate, okay, it's freaking shit, okay, but then also, you kind of hope as well, okay, that like the people that do have those strong opinions on the other side, okay, might look at that, okay, and feel some sort of like sympathy or realism, because don't forget, a lot of these people, okay, that don't leave their yards, bro, do you get me, okay? And
they do,
bro.
Not.
No, it's true, bro.
No, like, I hear it.
Bro, like, obviously, like, don't, like, not to get too political and stuff, okay? Do you know what I mean? Okay, but like, a lot of these, like, far right, you know, protests or Tommy Robinson stuff, da, 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 a lot of people that are, like, you know, doing these walks or blah, 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 all right, have lived in the same area for 30, 40 years, okay? Mm. You know, they go on holiday once a year, they have a routine for generations. If they don't earn a crazy amount, okay, it's a box down of life, blah, 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 and then they get told something online or they get told because they watch the news all freaking day or they go to school and back in the same area.
Yeah.
Okay. But they build a perception of what the world is, but actually you haven't seen the world and you haven't seen
expanded
people
your mind.
And you haven't seen cultures and how humans are just humans, right? Yeah. And films can do that. Films can actually take you into what a world can be, right? And then be like, rah, what is that? Is that a real thing? Like, do people actually hide in a back of a fucking telephone store, bro?
Or like a van.
And that's what it can do. It can just show you what that part of the world is. Can you expect people to react and change or whatever? But I don't know. Okay, I have no idea. But that's why I don't mind it being a little bit vague, okay, because sometimes it's not about telling them, it's about showing them, you know, and then that's like, I'm on crack.
Yeah, exactly. Also, think about that we're having this conversation off the back of that.
Yeah, like we before.
Look at this. Yeah. Look how much time we've been spent podding off the back of that because you wanted more and he feels like it's enough. Conversation.
Yeah.
No. Like, it creates beautiful. A conversation, but I guess it's more like a personal aspect. Like, you do see, like, how far we are shifting a certain way, like, to your point, you know, so many people are consuming bullshit online, not enough people touching grass and whatnot. I do feel like in certain spaces and certain media, if you are going to be touching those subjects, like, just be a little bit more on.
I just think strip it back a bit, man. Just strip it back a bit.
Yeah, like, strip it back a bit and then you could be like, yeah.
Yeah, I agree, somewhat surface level. The other issue I had is just the first half of the movie where it's quite like, it's like quite jump, not jump scary, but a lot of like just jumps from scene to scene where I just felt like a lack of connection from moments. So the lack of connection from scenes means you lack a connection towards what's being told from one scene to another. So like the Tiana Taylor stuff, not Tiana Taylor, but Perfidia, when she's like saying, oh, I don't know how to relate to my daughter, my husband, my boyfriend, I guess,
yeah,
is shows more love to her than he does to me. And I would have just liked, I don't need you to spoon feed me, I still got what was happening.
Yeah, yeah.
I just would have preferred a bit more of a connective tissue between certain threads. But other than that, I think it's a really good film. I think people should go and see it for sure.
Oh, facts.
And it will definitely be in the conversations for like film of the year, best made film, all the technical. I
mean, I'd never tell people to not go watch a film.
Good one. Is it the film of the year for me? I still think Sinners is number one. But that's,
yeah. I'm still Sinners still.
I'm Sinners. You was F1. You said F1.
Oh yeah, well, like I said, it's either F1 or
where'd you stand now?
Sinners. Huh?
Where'd you stand now?
Probably Sinners. And I think F1 is second or third. But you'll find out at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But yeah,
shit can change, man.
Yeah,
there's still a lot.
I told you,
still
that
a lot of movies.
I think
out.
That yeah. One Battle After Another and Sinners are better written films than F1. But F1, I've told you all, it's based off a feeling.
I prefer Sinners to F1, but I think when I left F1, I thought the same thing. But I've seen
it's the feeling. Again.
But F1 is like,
but
F1,
I just prefer.
Yeah, F1
I just prefer Sinners. Even feeling as well. I watch Sinners and it just, I don't know, it's just so cool as well.
It's
yeah.
so cool.
You know what I'm
it's
trying to say?
Yeah.
Cool
film, yeah.
But I do want to say this. Let me just glaze real quickly. PTA, he's done it again. I think this is the third best PTA film I've seen. I think There Will Be Blood, The Master, now this. Shout out to Daniel from Panels and Bars for making me go and watch, would you call it, The Master. Amazing film.
Yeah.
I think it's going to sweep. I think it's one of the best films I've seen this decade. I can't wait to go watch it again. I'm so hyped to go watch it with my brother, and then I'm going to watch it again with another friend.
This guy's one shot. Fair enough, man.
Listen,
fair
PTA,
so it's your
thank
film,
you.
It's your film of the year.
It's my film of the year, yeah.
Rankings.
Racismo, man. Rankings for what?
What, this? Like our ratings?
Yeah. Oh, ratings. You go.
8 out of 10.
Yeah, I said the same. I'll give it about an 8.
10 out of 10, I'm giving it.
10 out of 10 is yeah. crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I might even be like a 7.5. I think I'm a 7.5 out of 10.
7.5?
Yeah. Nah,
7.5, I feel like it's too low. I think like the minimum.
I think I'm 8.
Yeah, 8. Like, I do think it's definitely one of the best films I've seen this year.
Yeah, it probably. I think it is for me as well, but I don't know if that's actually saying much either.
I think that's a really good picks, but yeah,
again, suffering from success.
I'm not far off PTA, from you. We're like 0.5 apart.
Yeah, exactly. Like you, when you build a standard, you build a standard, people kind of like start expecting it.
Yeah, no.
So you know,
do you think this feels short of his standard?
No,
no.
All right,
no.
No, no, no. I'm just saying, like, when you build
a
standard,
anything over
it.
Like a 7.5 is fucking fantastic, bro.
Yeah, like people forget that. People forget that.
No,
right?
I'm saying
like,
if you get a simple, as if you personally are ranking a film, it's a quality film.
But I think
well, there's certain man that I expect 8 and above. I will say that.
Nah, bro, you can't. Dang, it's all the
question.
You almost got me.
Make sure to let us know your thoughts on the movie in the comments once you've watched this review. Make sure you go and see the movie for yourself as well. And then you have your opinion on it. Make sure you support cinema. It's important. Leonardo said it himself, actually. He said, go and watch the movie, especially original stories with original ideas. We are the Post Credit Scene Podcast, a 14HQ original, lovers of film, TV and theatre. Make sure you like, comment and subscribe. If you've enjoyed the content, make sure you check out the socials as well. TikTok, Instagram, Letterboxd. We're all over the gaff. So yeah, that is us. Over and out.
Over and out, indeed.
Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch and you are listening to the Post Credit Scene Podcast.